त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैर् एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम्। भगवद्गीता 7.13। हियर कृष्णा स्पीक्स अबाउट हिज पोजिशन इन रिलेशनशिप विद द थ्री मोड्स। त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैर्, त्रिभिर्गुण इज थ्री गुणास, मयैर्भावैर् बाय मी, sorry, Tribhir Maya is Maya here. The three is gone, which are made of material nature. Bhavai, by the states of being. Those Bhava is generally existence or state of being. So, Ebhi Sarvamidam Jagat. So, by the three modes of material nature, everyone in this world, Sarvamidam Jagat, Mohitam, they are deluded. Na Abhijanati, and therefore they do not know. Maam, Ebhya Paramavayam. One who I am, Param, who are transcendental, and who am avyaya, imperishable. So Krishna has from 7.7 till 7.12 talked about how he is the essence of everything, how he is immanent within. He used the principle through first analogy of the underlying thread in a necklace, and then he gives examples of how he's immanent. Now, sometimes when it is heard that God is immanent, then people think that, okay, nature itself is God, and there is no God beyond nature. So God does not have a self-existence beyond nature. But Krishna refutes that notion here by stating that he exists, he has, although he pervades all of nature, still he has his self-existence beyond nature. Mamebhya param avyayam. So, I exist param, transcendental, avyaya. Another effect that characterizes anything in this material world is that it is vyaya. It is affected by time. It deteriorates. But Krishna is transcendental and imperishable. Avyaya. Now, Tribhir Guna Mayair Bhavair. Essentially, three modes pervade everything and they delude everyone. But they actually obscure the perception of everyone. Mohitam sarvamidam jagat, all living beings. So the standard example that is given for how Krishna is not affected by the illusions that affect all of us is that Krishna is like the sun, and the influence of the modes, the covering, the illusion, the obscuring of perception that happens by them is like the clouds in the sky, and we are like observers on the ground. Now, there are three different points which are conveyed by this metaphor. First of all is the straightforward point that the clouds actually cover us, not the sun. Although to our perception it may appear that the sun is covered, but the sun is far greater than the clouds, and it is we who are, and we and our vision that is covered by the clouds and not the sun. So similarly, Krishna can never be covered by illusion, at least material illusion. And Krishna, when he is, we'll talk about transcendental illusion in terms of yoga maya when we talk about it in 7.25 Naham Prakash Sarvasi Yoga Maya Samavrataha. But here the point is that the modes which influence people in this world do not influence Krishna. He always remains transcendental. And because he remains transcendental, therefore he is the all-attractive supreme. Therefore, he is in a position dramatically different from us. He is in a position which is eternally transcendental. So, the first point is this. We are in the illusion, Krishna is above illusion. We are Mayadhin, Krishna is Mayadhish. We are under Maya, Krishna is the... Maya is under Krishna. At that point of Maya being under Krishna will be more explicitly made in the next verse, 7.14. Now let's go to the second point. Here another point is that the sun, although it is obscured to our vision by the clouds, the clouds are also a result of the sun's actions. That is, because the sun evaporates the water from the earth, and then that water rises as water vapor and then combines together, and then clouds are formed. So, the clouds are not an independent reality that can act in defiance of the sun, in the sense that the clouds are created by the action of the sun. And the clouds can have no existence if there had been no sun. So, in some religions it is proposed that Satan is an independent reality who acts in defiance of God's will and creates evil in this world and makes people do evil. But it's clear from these verses that Maya, which is the illusory energy, does not act independent of the Supreme Lord. Maya acts under the will of the Supreme Lord. Maya is her origin in the Supreme Lord, and she remains under his control. So she is a dependent reality who acts, although she seems to act in deluding ways that take the souls away from Krishna, but that is a part of her service to test the sincerity of the soul's intentions to serve Krishna. So the point is that she is not independent of Krishna. And then thirdly, Maya is also not eternal. The sense that Maya, in terms of not the energy of the Lord, but in terms of the effect of illusion that is created on us, just as by the sun's actions, eventually when the sun becomes very hot and in due course of time, the clouds condense and disappear. So like that, the illusion can be dissipated by the Lord's will. Now from below, you know, it is not very practical for us to try to somehow heat up the clouds or to cause their condensation. Some scientific experiments have been attempted to try to bring about cloud condensation, but they have not been substantially successful in terms of giving tangible amounts of rain to make such a high expenditure project worthwhile. So, what we need to understand is that Krishna is always in control, that Krishna is always transcendental, and Maya is his energy which deludes according to his will, and as per his will she can remove her deluding influence if Krishna sees that the soul is sincerely desiring to move towards me. Now further, it is stated that Mohitam na abhijanati. So while the illusion that is created by Maya is often thought of in terms of it making us attracted to the things of this world, because of Maya, say, we get attracted to temporarily good-looking bodies. It is because of Maya that we feel an irresistible pull towards the sense objects. Of course, that pull we feel because we also have a desire to enjoy matter. Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan. Bhungte. Because the soul desires to enjoy, so everything else follows afterwards. The soul becomes entangled. But still, even after we feel desire to enjoy, the response in terms of the of contacting the appealing sense objects and feeling the arousal within us, all that happens under the arrangement of Maya. So normally we think of Maya in terms of the attraction she creates toward the sense objects, but here Krishna talks about a more relevant effect of Maya for this discussion, and that is that Maya deludes us about Krishna. Maya prevents us from understanding Krishna. So when Krishna appears in this world as an avatar, at that time he appears like an ordinary human being, and people who see him are unable to realize his transcendental position. They think that he's just another ordinary person, or maybe an extraordinary person. But there's so many other extraordinary persons. They don't understand that he's the supreme person. Duryodhana saw Krishna quite a few occasions, but he hardly ever felt attracted to him to the extent that he wanted to become devoted to Krishna. And that's what he would have done if he had truly understood Krishna to be God. So even when Krishna showed the Vishwarupa, when he went to Kurukshetra as a Shantidut, when he went to Hastinapur as a Shantidut, at that time also, Duryodhana said that Krishna just showed some magic and I am not impressed. I can also show so many forms. What is the big deal about it? So essentially, Duryodhana could not understand, and similarly many other people also could not understand Krishna enough to become devoted to him, and that was because their own desires were misdirected. So mohitam na bijanati. So common people cannot know Krishna because he is transcendental, because he is non-material, because he's beyond the modes, and our illusory attraction toward the sense objects is of course a widely known and widely documented effect of the modes, but a far more detrimental effect is our misunderstanding about Krishna, because that is what destroys our prospects of coming out of material existence. Our attraction to sense objects entangles and muzzles material existence. But if we are attracted to Krishna, if we understand Krishna, then we will become attracted to him. If we are attracted to Krishna, then we still have some hope of becoming disentangled from the sense objects. But if we are not attracted to Krishna because we don't understand him, then for us, the primary way of getting out of material existence is damaged. And thus, our material existence gets perpetuated. So in this verse, Krishna underscores his transcendental position beyond the modes of material nature. Thank you.